Welcome to Thriving Earth Podcast, in which we look at how communities are using science to build a better world. I'm your host, Ann Johnson, and this podcast is produced by the Thriving Earth Exchange of the American Geophysical Union. Climate change is, by definition, happening globally. High-level international agreements are crucial to our ability to curb these global changes. But actually cutting emissions, that's largely something that has to happen locally, in your hometown. So today, we're looking at two hometowns in America that are taking climate head-on. Eugene, Oregon, and Fort Collins, Colorado, are working on some of the country's most ambitious plans to reduce CO2 emissions. In this two-part series, we'll hear how these cities are raising the ante on the climate conversation and what your community might learn from them. Our first stop is Eugene, Oregon, home to abundant natural beauty, a vibrant art scene, and some 160,000 people. Matt McRae, the city's climate and energy analyst, says it's also a place where a lot of people care a lot about climate.
Like any city across the country around the world, the city of Eugene is anticipating impacts of climate change if steps aren't taken to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from human activities. We conducted a statistically valid phone-based survey of community members, and there's a broad concern. Some 75% of respondents agreeing with the statement that climate change is likely to have severe impacts and will require changes in the way we do things. So there's a broad understanding among the population here in Eugene that climate change is real and something we have to address.
In 2010, Eugene adopted a climate action plan stating its intention to cut the use of fossil fuels in half by 2030, as compared to 2010 levels. That's a pretty impressive target. But a group of young people said that plan wasn't enough. The group, organized through the nonprofit Our Children's Trust, proposed an ordinance that, after some tweaking, the city adopted in 2014. The first thing the ordinance did was make the city's emissions targets an official part of city code. The second thing was more revolutionary. It required city staff to look into developing far more aggressive targets. Instead of focusing only on reducing emissions, the new approach starts with a goal of the global CO2 level that scientists say is actually needed if Earth is to regain a stable climate.
We began by looking at a global prescription for carbon dioxide emissions developed by James Hansen and others at NASA and Columbia University. And we then downscaled that to try and get a sense of, okay, what does it mean for Eugene? If we took that prescription and scaled it for our population, what would that look like?
What that looks like is an emissions nosedive in a very short period of time. Now, bear with me while I throw some numbers at you. Climate scientists measure atmospheric carbon dioxide concentrations in parts per million. Currently, carbon in the global atmosphere is at about 400 parts per million. The level that scientists say is safe or stable for the planet is 350 parts per million. We're already seeing a lot of early impacts of climate change because we've already exceeded that threshold. In Eugene, the city was tasked with coming up with a carbon budget for doing its part to help the world get back to 350 parts per million. Matt worked with a local consulting company and enlisted the help of the Thriving Earth Exchange to find expert reviewers to make sure the calculations were sound. The resulting plan is, well,
it's astonishingly aggressive.
That's Colorado State University atmospheric science professor Scott Denning. We'll hear more from Scott when we talk about Fort Collins, but I asked him to review Eugene's 350 target carbon budget as an outside expert. He said most of the calculations seem appropriate, but that the thing that jumps out most really stems from the 350 goal itself.
I mean, I kind of hate to say this, but it's extremely unlikely that the world is going to be able to turn the CO2 back down to 350 ppm. Now, I think there's nothing wrong with an aspirational goal of achieving 350 ppm, if only because it emphasizes the urgency of reducing the emissions which drive the CO2 up. Perhaps the way the world works, we have to set difficult aspirational goals in order to achieve the best possible result.
Matt doesn't argue with this. The plan is undeniably ambitious. Eugene would need to cut emissions to virtually zero across the entire city in less than 20 years. And that's not all. To actually reduce CO2 concentrations, you have to not only stop emitting, but take carbon out of the air, something Eugene proposes to do through reforestation. But Matt says, even if that's an aspirational goal, it's still a valuable benchmark for climate conversations.
We as a community may or may not achieve that, but it at least gives us the backdrop of here's what's necessary so that as we're working towards our existing greenhouse gas goals, we have a sense of where we really need to be going. It cues up some really interesting discussions. It really begs the question about, you know, how serious are we as a community about doing what's necessary? And I think it will beg the question for other communities as well.
There's one other aspect that Matt and Scott both agree offers a radical twist to the typical climate conversation. Pretty much every city's emissions analysis includes some kind of pie chart showing the current sources of greenhouse gases, things like cars on the road, emissions from coal-fired power plants, and so on. What Eugene's pie chart has that's missing from most everyone else's is a category called consumption. That refers to emissions associated with all the foods and products that are bought or consumed in Eugene, including those produced elsewhere.
That's a very progressive thing to do, to sort of own up to the emissions that are happening elsewhere, but which are supporting consumption inside Eugene, Oregon. And that is actually the largest source of emissions for Eugene, Oregon. If you were only trying to influence the production of CO2 within the city limits, then you'd have a much smaller job to do to reduce your emissions.
But while this approach does make reducing citywide emissions a much harder job, Matt is adamant that cities have to do this if we're to be honest with ourselves about our contributions to global emissions.
Not every community, as they're doing greenhouse gas inventories, is considering or including the emissions that are embodied in the products and the food that we buy. But if we don't include those emissions, we're kidding ourselves. There are a huge amount of emissions that happen overseas or in other parts of the country that are emitted on our behalf. If we ignore those emissions, then theoretically Eugene could drop all of its emissions by just outsourcing all of the industry to make products for us. And that doesn't seem like a very realistic way to get there.
There are a number of realistic ways to get there, but few of them are easy. In part two of this podcast series, we'll take a look at the nuts and bolts of a plan to dramatically reduce emissions in a city not unlike Eugene, Fort Collins, Colorado. Thanks to Matt McRae of the City of Eugene and Scott Denning of Colorado State University for joining us. I'm your host, Ann Johnson, and you can find more information and part two of this series at thrivingearthexchange.org. Thanks for listening to Thriving Earth Podcast.